Well, thanks for the introduction and thanks for the invitation. First, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors on this work, Ray Desjardins at Agriculture Canada, Claudia Wagner-Riddle at the University of Guelph, and Doug McDonald, who's at Environment Canada, and he's lead on the agricultural emission inventory. So over the last couple of years, working at AFC, working closely with the National Inventory Group, it's been an opportunity for me to learn a little bit about the differences between doing research on greenhouse gas emissions from livestock and mitigation practices and trying to get a greenhouse gas inventory put together and reported to the UNFCCC, which is what Environment Canada does every year. This is done by sector, and there's a time series that has to go back to 1990. So the gap that I'm talking about is, as we're doing this research, understanding the processes in livestock emissions, how do we get that information successfully transferred into the inventory so that it counts for the national and international accounting. So a couple of the gaps that that I've seen that contribute to the challenge are the spatial and temporal dynamics of research, which here's a handful of different measurement techniques. And generally, we're thinking about the spatial scale of sort of square meters or maybe square kilometers if you're using aircrafts. And a time scale of months, whereas at the inventory scale, we're thinking about decades and we're looking at a whole nation and regions. So making the transfer from one scale to the other presents a big challenge in itself. A couple of other challenges are to do with the units. So when we're doing a research study and we're publishing a paper, we have certain units that we're using. And when we're putting together an inventory that has very different units, and sometimes trying to extract the necessary information out of a paper to be able to incorporate it into an inventory method is pretty challenging. But really, a really important one is the farm management aspect. So doing a study, we typically can control or at least measure to quite a high level of detail what's going on in terms of farm management or crop management, livestock daily gains and feed intake and so on, whereas at the inventory scale we're dealing at a very different level of knowledge, and it's generally farm management is fairly poorly known, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. So taking some of these gaps, let's say, and putting them together with the calculation method, so to arrive at this inventory, we need to calculate the emissions, and this is done by multiplying an emission factor by a population. And that factor should be a function of management practices and climate. The general structure would be that we have the emission factor multiplied by the population, and that population comes from an agricultural census in Canada that's done every year, and it's pretty pretty good at capturing changes. So that part's decent. The management practices come from intermittent surveys, which I'll talk more about, and this is an important challenge. Then we have climate data derived from weather stations. Research plays an important role in making sure that the emission factors and the models are validated and are able to decipher the differences in emissions between different management practices. So for the rest of the talk, I'd like to focus on kind of a case study of some of the work that we've been doing over the last few years on looking at manure management, and I'll focus here on the methane emissions from manure management. So on the left, on the research side, we've got a bunch of ongoing studies and some BMPs that look promising. And on the inventory side, we want to see if those can count. Right now, just to give you a sense of scale, the methane emissions from manure management in Canada amount to 4 megatons of CO2 equivalents, which is significant, but not a huge number. That is going to become more important as the global warming potential that's used in the inventory continues to update to the more recent IPCC numbers, as well as, so right now it's using 21, and that's going to increase to 25, and then eventually probably to 34. So this number is going to rise just because of that. So some of the research that we've been doing, this is just a quick summary of a couple of papers. well, one paper here. This is on the difference between when a manure storage is completely emptied, so there's no residual left when it starts to be filled again, versus when it's not completely emptied, so there is a residual when it starts to be refilled. The idea here being that there's an inoculum that enables methane to be produced more rapidly when there is a residual left in the tank. So this study was done on 6.6 square meter tanks. There's six of them. They are about 1.5 meters deep. And so there's replication, and overall we see over about a six-month study, more than 50% reduction in methane emissions because the tanks were cleaned completely compared to those tanks that were not completely emptied. So that's promising. Some other research that we're doing on farms with solid liquid separation, primarily with screw presses, we can see very significant reductions in the volatile solids that are going into the liquid manure storage. And in lab assays of methane potential, we see similarly a very significant decrease in the methane potential. So just between those two examples, we have two cases where more than 50% emission reduction might be expected. And there's other research that we have ongoing, as well as other people, lots of other research that's happening to do with how the storages are filled and emptied, biogas and other things, but the question is, will these count in the inventory? So we started looking into that, and the first thing I'll highlight is, again, the way that it's calculated. So the manure methane emissions are calculated by the population multiplied by an emission factor. So the population is derived from those annual surveys. This is the number of all the different subcategories of livestock. And this is gives a dynamic number that changes over time. So in the swine industry, we've seen increases in certain decades and decreases in others. In the dairy industry in Canada, there's generally been a decreasing number of animals because there's a quota system in place. So as productivity increases, fewer animals are required to meet the production targets. So that side of the equation is pretty good. On the emission factor side of the equation, as I said, it's supposed to be a function of management practices and climate. But what we see is that it's a static number, so that the simply looking at the percentage of manure that's stored as a liquid versus as a solid has been a constant flat line from 1990 till now. So that's a problem. That's the first problem we wanted to tackle, is that we have a static management component in this calculation. And in order to have any kind of mitigation, you have to be able to capture a change in management practices, and you have to be able to find a different emission factor for different management practices. So how do we get that to have a trend instead of be a flat line? When I expand that emission factor equation, there's four terms, and one of them is MS, which is the management system distribution factor. So we wanted to go back in time, essentially, and see how that has changed. So we looked at a number of farm surveys that have been done intermittently with different objectives. They certainly weren't trying to capture what we're trying to capture, but they asked a few questions that we could use to help with our goals. These have been analyzed in the past, but never on a per animal basis. So it's always been each response counts equally. So a farmer that has 100 animals counts the same as a farmer that has 1,000 or 10,000 animals. So you end up with very skewed results because of this lack of weighting. So we had to go back to the respondent level data, weight all the responses according to the size of the farms, the number of animals, and allocate that manure on each farm from each animal to where its manure storage, what type of manure storage it was going to. And with that, we were now able to document changes with time that are, for instance, in the dairy industry, here we can see a 40% increase in farm size, and at the same time, 145% increase in the amount of liquid manure. So that's the same kind of thing we have now for swine, and this is enabling that parameter, that MS term, to change over time. So that's really the first thing we needed to do. The second thing, then, expanding these terms, is we have a methane conversion factor, and that really indicates what percentage of the maximum potential that could be emitted is actually emitted, and it's a function of how the manure is stored. So this is a map of Canada, and the shaded regions are the primary agricultural areas. So we have livestock across the country, and the way that manure is distributed is you can conceptualize it as so a percentage of the manure goes into a solid pile and the percentage of the manure goes into liquid manure storage. And there is essentially one gigantic liquid manure storage that's has one MCF with one national temperature and no management effect. That's the way this is conceptualized. So it's difficult to have a mitigation that's accounted in this system because it's not detailed and it's not regional. So that was the second thing we wanted to address. So in order to do that, what we conceptualize is having essentially numerous modeled storages, which could each have their own MCF as a function of the regional temperature regime and the management. So let's say we would have at minimum one per region, but then we'd like to subdivide that depending on the management within each region. So instead of having one management, one region, one MCF, we can expand that to have a whole table of them. And essentially this, I've shown here two management practices on the left, one to do with how the manure storages are filled and emptied. So whether it's emptied once a year or twice a year or three times a year and the timing that occurs, and then whether the storage is completely emptied or not. Those management practices would then have an effect on the MCF, and then we would have different columns depending on what region that happened to be in. So conceptually then we could distinguish between an anaerobic lagoon and an earthen storage, and that earthen storage could be in a different province, and we could have liquid manure storages that are empty twice a year in one province or three times a year in another province. So we have now a series of options, which is giving us the ability to have a responsive baseline and the ability then to change as management changes. So how are we going to go about doing this? The first thing would be to have measurements of a few key points in this sort of grid. So we're undertaking research to do that, and then to have research on comparing relative differences between specific factors, such as the inoculum or the manure filling and emptying. So that's where the farm scale research that we're doing comes into play. So I'm just going to touch on this briefly, but over the last 2 years, we've been using OpenPath lasers to do emission measurements of the methane coming from manure storages, as well as from other parts of the farm, on a number of dairy farms, and these have different manure management practices. So in addition to measuring the emissions, we're also getting really complete information about the volatile solids production and loading into the storage. The B-naught of the manure is also being characterized in the lab. And so we're getting time series of methane emissions, such as the graph here, which is just over 1 year from June 2013 till May 2014. So that kind of a time series will be very helpful for model development. So now that we've set these processes in place, how will this actually get integrated into the inventory, and what does the inventory really look like? Well, essentially it's a bunch of very large databases that are linked to each other, and in order to make these changes, we have to introduce new tables and new processes from the research, from the surveys, and integrate them into this collection of databases, and that's challenging because of how this is all interlinked. And it's also linked to other inventory components like nitrous oxide, ammonia. And all the changes have to be well documented and reviewed within the country as well as internationally. So the timeline of this taking place, even for things that we've already established, say from the surveys, is at least a couple of years. But the wheels are in motion, so that's the good thing. Just touching briefly about biogas, which you'll hear more about later from Claudia, we've been developing and are soon to be conducting a biogas survey, which is going to be going out to all of the biogas operators in the country, as well as comparable farms that don't have biogas. I can say that this development process has been difficult. It's an iterative process that's taken more than 6 months. Been working very closely with industry and have some contractors helping on this. We have to strike a balance between being comprehensive and actually having a survey that'll get a high response rate. But we've been planning, the way it's established now, there'll be questions about livestock management, manure management, co-feed stocks, which are really important, digester design, such as single or dual stage, and the retention time. So we're looking at those kinds of factors, as well as energy production and digestate management. And so that will give the activity data, the management information, that we can then pair with measurements that we're doing on leakage factors and flaring emissions, emissions from the digestate. And that should enable us then to integrate this subsequently into the inventory as well, so as biogas continues to increase in Canada, we can document those changes. So kind of synthesizing the general things that I've learned over the last few years working between research and inventory, there's a big learning process for me was getting the inventory mindset, which is about understanding the calculations that are done and the scale at which they're done, the limitation in terms of the inputs that are available, and this was of course made possible by a lot of communication directly between the inventory group and the researchers. And one thing that's really important that I've noted from this is that although emission measurements are really critical, we have to at the same time make sure we get all the other parameters that are necessary in order to document the changes and make sure that the calculations can be done within the inventory. And of course, to that end, surveys of farm management are really crucial. And as far as what we've done on the manure management methane emissions side, that's looks like that methane emissions they're going to become more important because the global warming potential is increasing of methane, as well as because of the increasing use of liquid manure. We've been able to document a change from a static management over time to now a dynamic one, and we have a structure for giving MCF options that can allow regionalization as well as the capture of mitigation practices. And we're working on a research program to match with that. And with some of the new survey work with biogas, we'll be able to continue to document management changes in the country. So overall, we are going to be able to incorporate some practices in the coming years, and that's happy about that. It's been a big effort. So thanks. Yeah, so that's a variety of different surveys. I didn't get into all the details, but it's like the Livestock Farm Practices Survey, Farm Environmental Management Survey, FIMS, I forget what that one stood for. But I guess they were carried out by Stats Canada, yes, but I don't think Stats Canada does them on a regular basis. It's Agriculture Canada that works together with Stats Canada to put those together. I think there is going to be... They are going to continue into the future, but kind of in a different format from what I understand. And that, again, is part of the problem. They keep changing. Every few years, there's a survey that comes out, and it's slightly different than the one before, or very different than the one before. Yeah, hopefully that answers your question.
Do you have input into that survey? That's
the ones that are going to be coming out into the future, yeah, there's opportunity for input into that.
Yep. You should constantly be
The B naught value is currently the default for each livestock type. So there's a different one for swine than dairy.
But you don't have any dietary.
But right now it's not a function of diet, but that would be obviously another thing which I could have talked about too, but yeah. Good point.
Anything else, Corey? No? Thank you, Andy. That's great.